And welcome back to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Justin Bradford, Joe Rexroad, and Marquise Munson. Switching gears here, let's talk high school sports, especially with all the kids returning back to school and those high school sports getting ready to kick off. We have the Assistant Executive Director of the TSSAA, Matthew Gillespie, joining us right now. Thanks, Matthew, for taking the time to speak with us.
No, thanks for having me, guys. Happy to do it.
Absolutely. So let's look into this. I mean, there's so many questions that have come up, and I know you all been dealing with this now for many, many months. Overall, looking at the safety of high school sports, just the stance of the TSSAA to approve this to go on and what the safety measures are that everyone is looking at to make sure these sports are going to take place safely.
Yeah, I think it's, it's obviously something a lot of people are a little hesitant about. There's so much unknown out there, and as everybody's known over the past few months, this thing changes not only on a monthly or weekly basis, but a daily basis, and there's so much that that is unknown. But we've tried to put together a list of requirements or protocols in place to first and foremost goal is to keep the student athlete safe and healthy. And by doing that, we started with the steps that are in place, but it also expands to the coaches, to the fans in attendance, and we all know what this thing can do and how quickly it can spread, and it's going to be difficult to control. But I think with everything in place, whether it's from temperature checks and that's everybody. So your listeners out there should know if they're going to a high school game, whether it's football or volleyball or whatever it is, everybody's going to be required to have a temperature check. Everybody's going to be required to wear a mask at the event, and that's just the start of it. There's a lot of other protocols in place, but it's all for the safety and to help. If everybody will do their part, we can keep this thing going, hopefully. Now, I sit here and say that, and 3 weeks, we could be talking about something different, but we just don't know. But that's what we need to do to give us a chance to keep it going throughout the year.
No, absolutely, and good points being made about just being aware of things changing, because it absolutely will change. And so what's the communication been like? Because obviously with high school sports, it affects thousands of families in this state, and that's why we wanted to bring you on, because so many people are affected by this that have their students, athletes participating in these sports too. So what's the communication been like with a lot of these coaches and school administrators, and just how often are you talking to just make sure you're getting feedback from them as well?
It's constant. We go back to, unfortunately, when it all started with the shutdown of our girls' state basketball tournament, and then the eventual cancellation of the boys, and then of course we all know what happened with spring sports as well. So it's been going from then, and of course, as we mentioned earlier, it's just been so fluid, all the changes as we go along. And at that time, we were worried about basketball and spring sports, and little did we know how it would affect the fall. And here we are in the fall and having to plan and make the adjustments for that. So it's been an ongoing discussion with, all of our coaches and administrators across the state of 450-plus schools. We've worked closely with the governor's office and working on getting these protocols in place and having, the ability to get high school sports exempt from the state of emergency order that was in place that would have certainly affected the dates of football. Right now, we're a go for the normal schedule. There are some school systems, certainly Metro Nashville, that are going to be delayed and getting going. And we've got plans in place for that. When you do miss 2 weeks of football or whatever it may be, how do you adjust to that and things like that? So it's, it's just ongoing discussion with our board of control, and we've got another board meeting coming up in August to do some normal business as well, but I'm sure this will be a continued discussion there too.
Matthew, we've talked a lot today about college football and, college football players really speaking out, especially, in the last 12 hours or so, really about this idea that college football may be on the verge of being canceled. Just wondering from your perspective, obviously a lot of dialogue with coaches, but what kinds of things did you guys hear from families, from parents, from kids who want to play this fall as you went through this process of trying to put this together?
Yeah, I think the majority of it that we've heard, certainly there's been some people who are not big on the idea and feel like we should take more precautions or shut everything down. But then the majority of response we've got is just thank you for giving us a chance. Thanks for putting this stuff in place and letting us, at this point, at least not lose our season, especially those seniors. I mean, that you saw the outcry from people that lost their senior season in baseball or softball, and rightfully so. But I think most people are genuinely just happy that we've got a chance to get the kids out there on the field. It's not going to look the same. We're not going to, you know, see the pep bands in the stands like we're used to. I mean, they're going to be there, but just not in the same light we're used to seeing them. And crowds are going to look different and things like that. But I think people are just happy for the opportunity. And again, it does, you know, we just want to provide the opportunity. If someone's extremely concerned about it, I mean, this is just providing the chance for them to do it. They don't have to do it. Somebody, there's going to be people out there that make the choice of, look, my child is not going to go on the field. He's not going to continue with this sport this season because we are more concerned about our health and don't want to take that risk. And you certainly understand and appreciate that viewpoint. But yeah, I think the majority are just pleased that at this point they've got a chance to do it again. We know how it changes, and hopefully we won't be having a different conversation in a few weeks or a few months, but we know that's a reality as well.
And so looking forward to, again, wanting to make sure that people understand what's going to be different to reinforce the idea that it's going to be different when they're going to these events. Are there restrictions in terms of percentage of attendance that can be there? Is it just wide open? Is it one of those things by school district in terms of what's going to be available there? I mean, you said temperature checks and masks. What else can people expect if they're going to any of these events?
Yeah, some of the regulations our board passed back in July is that, and this goes for not just football games, it goes for the basketball gym, it goes for whatever event you're going to, a very strong recommendation that they limit their capacity to one quarter to one third of whatever their normal capacity would be. So if it's a football stadium that seats 6,000, you know, you want to see no more than 2,000 in there. How those schools go about doing that, that is up to them. I think you're going to see a lot of schools. I've heard a lot of discussion of trying to go to limit or completely remove, you know, money exchange for tickets. So a lot of people are looking at the digital-only ticket, which a lot of fans use, something that we use at our tournaments called GoFan. But, you know, they can use anything they want. And so I, you know, if you're going to an event, maybe check that out in advance. Is, you know, can I walk up to the ticket booth and buy a paper ticket with, you know, $20 in hand or however many tickets I need? Or is that something I've got to get in advance and walk up and show my phone that, you know, and so many people are used to that when they go to college events and pro events now, certainly in the Nashville area. But somebody may not have done that, and so that may be something new to them. So I think, and that'll be an easy way for schools to track that, hey, we got to limit this to 2,000 tickets sold or whatever that number is. I think that's why a lot of them are looking at that, so they'll know that, you know, this is what was sold. Some you're still going to be able to buy the ticket, but that's something different I think I'd look for going into it. Certainly you'll see a lot of things that you've been used to seeing, whether it's on TV with NBA basketball or baseball. You're not going to see a pregame handshake and post-game celebration and things like that. So it's going to be a different look and feel, but I think the important thing is we're trying our best to get the kids out on the field and on the court to be able to participate in these events.
And before we have to let you go, just an article came out on the TSSAA site just about mental well-being of the students and a cause for concern about that. We spoke a little bit about this with college athletes. Just what are some of the things coming into place for making sure the mental well-being is there for these kids if, for instance, they do have to put something on pause, or just dealing with this in general, because this is obviously a major stress on not just the student athletes but their families in general. So just what are some of those steps in terms of the mental well-being?
Yeah, I think that's – I appreciate you bringing that up. It is something we've seen before this pandemic hit. There's been so many studies out there that know the positive effects on students in participation in athletics or any other extracurricular activity, as far as, you know, the improvement or, you know, positive way they go about with academics and just life in general. It does have a positive effect to be involved in something. And what was troubling to us is after the pandemic hit, of course, you know, kids are upset, they miss their season, things like that. But there's been some studies out there that have shown it's not only obviously the lack of participation could affect them physically if they're not out there doing anything else on their own, but the mental aspect of it and how it's affected them, and whether it's a form of depression or whatever it may be, those numbers are extremely high. So I think just participation in athletics not only helps you physically, but it's been shown the mental effect on students to be out there, or the lack of being out there has really affected them. So So I think it obviously there's a lot of positives that come out of athletic participation, and that's what we're trying to create, is just that opportunity for them to get back out there that'll help them not only physically but mentally as well.
Well, Matthew, we certainly appreciate your time and insight into what's going on here, because it affects so many people just across the state. So definitely appreciate you joining us this morning.
Guys, thank you so much for having me. Appreciate all you do.
Absolutely, Matthew. Folks. Matthew Gillespie, the Assistant Executive Director of the TSSAA, just the high school sports, returning as soon as this weekend, I believe, that high school sports are getting up and going. I know soccer, football, everything of that sort. So Joe, when looking at this, it's very relative to what we're seeing in the college football conversation, just in a different scope of things, because how many school districts we have in the state, just in Middle Tennessee, like you even mentioned Nashville being under different restrictions compared to the rest of the state. I mean, it's a challenge. No matter what side we're on with this, it is a challenge, and difficult decisions are being made.
No doubt about it. And look, I've had this discussion with people, in fact, with my wife last night, with college football happening, you know, the idea of, so Why would college football not happen, but high school football would, or, you know, pro football would? And again, this is where, you know, college football is just in a unique situation where, again, it's sort of like professional sports with laborers on campus that aren't really laborers, and there's liability. It's a totally different thing than, you know, high school sports. As Matthew said, obviously, if you have any concerns at all, you don't play. But providing it, I think there are a lot of benefits to this, and I think there's certainly risk, and you know that, you know, hopefully these protocols are in place, and hopefully society at large helps, contributes to this in a positive way, not in a negative way like we've seen in the last couple months. But a lot of these kids, you know, this is what they work for years. And you think about seniors this fall having opportunity, I think it's worth giving them that opportunity.
It is, and that's why I brought up the mental health situation right there too.
Yes.
For the sake of their well-being overall, and just, yes, follow those regulations your school systems are putting in place. If you want these things to happen, you got to follow those rules. I mean, that's what it comes down to. If you want your kids to be able to play, you want to go support your friends, please follow those rules, and you can have sports. We can make sports happen safely if we just do the right things. That's what it comes down
to. True.
Okay, up next, Darren McFarland is going to join us, the host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Here up next, Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.